Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo filling in this Thursday morning for you here on Catholic Connection. Teresa is at a speaking engagement. Happy to be with you this morning. She'll be back tomorrow for a regular time slot here on Catholic Connection. Joining us this morning, coming up this hour, Dawn Eden Goldstein is an author of Sunday Will Never Be the Same. She'll be joining us. She's written several books before, including The Thrill of the Chaste and My Peace I Give You. She began her writing career as a rock and roll historian using the pen name Dawn Eden. In the 1990s, she contributed to the Billboard, the Village Voice, Mojo, and Salon, and co-wrote the Encyclopedia of Singles. She went on to work in editorial positions at the New York Post and the Daily News. At the age of 31, Goldstein, who was raised Jewish, experienced an encounter with the divine, which began a personal transformation that would eventually lead her to enter the Catholic Church. So in 2016, she became the first woman to earn a doctorate in Sacred Theology from the University of St. Mary of the Lake. She's an assistant professor of dogmatic theology in the online division of the Holy Apostles College and Seminary and lives in Washington, D.C. So we'll be talking with Dawn this morning about her book, her latest book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same. And then coming up in the this hour as well is a regular guest here on Catholic Connection, Dr. Monica Miller with Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, author of the book Abandoned, The Untold Story of the Abortion Wars, is talking about a candlelight vigil coming up on April 13th. She's also looking to recruit leaders for these nationwide events that are coming up. So we'll be talking with Dr. Miller about that. And, of course, I want to talk with her about the movie Unplanned. You haven't heard yet. There was a packed theater giving Unplanned movie standing ovation after a glitzy Hollywood premiere. So I just wanted to share with you this story this morning. Hollywood got a deeper first-person look inside the abortion industry this past Monday night during the premiere of the film Unplanned. I know Teresa's been talking about this a lot here, and I just want to continue this conversation. And I do hope you go see the movie. I plan to see it. I'm looking forward to it. The film is based on the true story of Planned Parenthood director turned pro-life advocate Abby Johnson. It comes out in theaters nationwide on March 29th. Attendees described a packed theater Monday at the TCL Chinese Theater in Los Angeles, where celebrities like singer Joy Villa, pro-life leaders including Lila Rose and Johnson herself, and conservative entrepreneur Mike Lindell had the opportunity to watch the film for the first time. Some said they were moved to tears by the film as it depicted Johnson's struggles through two abortions, her work at Planned Parenthood, and her decision to leave and become pro-life. The premiere concluded with a standing ovation. Johnson, who spoke at the premiere, tweeted a photo of her attending with her husband and oldest daughter. And there was a lot of tweets. If you go to Twitter, there's a lot of celebrities and other people tweeting about being at the event. Many in attendance were well-known pro-life leaders and conservative media personalities who were all over Twitter tweeting about the premiere as well. So you could follow that. And at least 1,000 theaters are slated to screen the film starting March 29th. The film is rated R, but a group of conservative leaders are contesting the rating. So this is a great opportunity to evangelize the faith. Sometimes we don't know how to talk about these issues with our friends, our family. They're very difficult, especially when you go into the holiday season. A lot of arguments will ensue over politics, over pro-life, pro-choice. But I think this is a great opportunity for all of us to invite somebody who may be on the pro-life fence, so to speak, or you know, will say they're pro-life, but not really sure. They make the comments, well, you know, I don't believe in abortion, but, you know, who am I to tell, you know, another woman what to do with her body? You know, those are arguments you hear all the time. And perhaps this is your way to evangelize the faith by inviting somebody to go see the movie with you. And, you know, it's a friendly gesture. And it's something that you don't have to, you know, sometimes we struggle with how to communicate the message. I mean, you can't share information that you don't know yourself. So I'm a big believer in, a big advocate in doing your own research. And there's a lot of information out there. So we're going to be talking to Monica Miller this morning and Pro-Life Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. There's right to life information. There's so much information out there on the pro-life in the pro-life world that you can share with friends and family to stand up for life. Now, I know that's hard for a lot of people. I know it's, you know, you don't want to get in arguments with people that are in your life, whether it be people that you work with, people in your family. I get it. I mean, I've been in those situations where you don't want to start up, and I've actually gotten to heated arguments with people who are pro-choice, and it's not really a good road to go down sometimes. So maybe this is a way for you to share the pro-life message without having to communicate it yourself, and invite them to go see the movie with you and just say, hey, just come see the movie with me. They may be hesitant. You know, maybe make a dinner night out with it. Maybe make a whole night out. Say, let's do dinner. Let's go see this movie. Take a group of friends. Sometimes, you know, you need third party. I'm a big proponent of third party validators. People in your life don't want to hear you touting a message, but hearing it from somebody else, especially somebody who lived in that world, the Planned Parenthood world. And a lot of people don't even understand what Planned Parenthood stands for and what they're all about, and that they are an abortion business. It's an abortion business. They get $500 million from your tax-paying dollars, $500 million from the government, to continue their abortion business. And I can't think of a better way to share with the world what this is all about than somebody who lived and breathed it every single day. And so this is that story of unplanned. And I do hope you go out and see it and take a friend with you. It is a great way to evangelize the pro-life message. So it is we're approaching about 8 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. She'll be back tomorrow with you, and I'm actually joining her tomorrow to talk about what's in the news. Our monthly, or sometimes twice a month, I come on and talk about in the news segment. But right now it's about 8 minutes past the hour, and it's time for the news. Leaders of the European Union are meeting today to decide whether to allow the United Kingdom to delay its withdrawal from the EU. British Prime Minister Theresa May is in Brussels, hoping to get support from the 27 leaders of the trading bloc for an extension of the March 29th deadline for Britain to pull out. An extension would move the date to June 30th. Britain's parliament voted this month to reject the deal May negotiated with the EU and rejected the idea of leaving without a deal. Meanwhile, President Trump is cheering the strong economy.
After so many years of budget cuts and layoffs, today jobs are coming back and pouring back, frankly, like never before. Companies are coming back into our country. They want the action.
Visiting an Army tank manufacturing plant in Ohio yesterday, Trump again criticized General Motors for closing auto plants. Trump singled out Ohio's Lordstown GM plant and said, get it open. Trump won Ohio in the 2016 presidential election and hopes to do it again next year. President Trump, meanwhile, says he doesn't know when special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation will be finished. Terry Moore reports.
I want to see the report.
Talking with reporters at the White House, Trump said it's up to Attorney General Bill Barr to decide what to do with Mueller's findings.
Let it come out. Let people see it.
Mueller is obligated to send his report to the Attorney General.
Now, let's see whether or not it's legit. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction. There was no nothing. So we'll see what the report says. Let's see if it's fair.
The House is demanding that Mueller's final report be sent to Congress and made available to the public. Meantime, Trump again accused Mueller of putting more than a dozen angry Democrats on his team.
I know that he's conflicted.
In Washington, I'm Terry Moore.
Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant wasn't kidding when he said he was eager to sign a new abortion law only 48 hours after the legislature wrapped up work on a bill that could ban an abortion before a woman even knows she's pregnant in many cases. Bryant is planning to make it law at a ceremony at the Capitol this morning. It prohibits most abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected or about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. But the ink from the governor's signature will barely be dry before opponents file a court challenge. The Florida man accused of sending mail pipe bombs to well-known Democrats will be in Manhattan federal court today. Scott Pringle has that story.
Cesar Sayoc is expected to avoid trial with a guilty plea to at least some of these charges. He faces dozens. Prosecutors say Sayoc allegedly sent pipe bombs addressed to prominent Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Also others that criticized President Trump like actor Robert De Niro. None of these mail bombs that turned up last October went off. Sayoc was arrested in Florida. Scott Pringle, New York.
New Zealand is doing what it can to get back to normal almost a week after a deadly terror attack that left 50 people dead at two mosques. The Prime Minister has announced a ban on military-style semi-automatic rifles and assault rifles. She has also confirmed that Friday's Muslim call to prayer will be broadcast nationwide, along with the observance of 2 minutes of silence. Meanwhile, one of the mosques where dozens were killed will open for Friday's prayers. Armed police will have a noticeable presence in an effort to reassure worshipers. President Trump will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House on Monday. Speaking alongside Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday in Jerusalem, Netanyahu said the alliance between the U.S. and Israel has never been stronger.
It's an unbreakable bond that's based on shared values of liberty and democracy and shared interests to fight the enemies of democracy, the enemies of our way of life.
Trump will also host a dinner for Netanyahu on Tuesday evening. The Israeli leader is dealing with some serious problems at home. He is the subject of an ongoing corruption investigation and is seeking re-election next month. Netanyahu is going for a fifth term as prime minister. A school bus driver is facing charges in Italy after he allegedly took 51 children hostage and lit the bus on fire. Mark Mayfield has the details.
Prosecutors in Milan are calling it a miracle that no one was seriously hurt. Police were able to rescue the children from the burning bus on Wednesday after one of the students managed to make a phone call to their parents. It's not immediately clear what motivated the 47-year-old suspect, who reportedly tied up the children with electrical cable before dousing the bus with gasoline. Mark Mayfield.
California Highway Patrol is getting to know more about driverless cars. They attended a presentation given by Google driverless car company Waymo in San Jose on how to interact with the vehicles.
There will be situations where we will need to interact with these vehicles in crashes, perhaps an enforcement contact. We need to really know how that is going to work out for us.
California Highway Patrol Sergeant Daniel Hill says yesterday's training, including how to rescue passengers from the vehicle and how to disable it. The California Highway Patrol is hoping to avoid repeating a situation involving Tesla last year where they had to call the car company for information on how to disable a battery. Waymo has not said when consumers will be able to use the self-driving cars. The Powerball jackpot is now up to $625 million. No one matched all six numbers in the Wednesday night drawing, so Saturday's drawing will be the fourth largest Powerball jackpot ever. No one has won the jackpot since January. It is 13 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo, happy to fill in for Teresa Tamio this morning. Coming up after the break is Dawn Eden Goldstein, author of Sunday Will Never Be the Same. Stay with us, everyone.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
Unplanned, the incredible true story of Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson's dramatic conversion, is coming to theaters, and Ave Maria Radio is hosting special free screenings sponsored by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Tell your friends, and don't miss a chance to experience this life-changing film. Local pro-life leaders will be there with resources to take home. We have screenings on March 26th, 28th, and the 30th at multiple locations. Tickets are going fast. Get the details at AveMariaRadio.net and reserve your seat today. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School is a top-performing school in the Diocese of Lansing. This fully accredited school is located in South Brighton. Their mission? To offer a distinctly Catholic formation of children and youth through excellence in education. Since their opening in 2001, their goal is to integrate the teaching and practice of the Catholic faith into their students and families while simultaneously providing a quality academic education. Call 810-900-9050 to schedule a tour or go to holyspiritrcs.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning. Joining us now is Dawn Eden Goldstein, author of the book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same. Dawn, thanks for joining us.
Hi. Yes, I'm here. I apologize. There might be some beeps on call waiting, but I'm very thankful to be on.
Oh, no problem. It's a little technical snafu there, but we're all good. Dawn, you know, you have such a great, interesting story on your conversion to the faith, and I want to get to that. But first, I want to talk about the book. Why did you title it Sunday Will Never Be the Same?
Well, the book is really my story of how after growing up Jewish and being a rock and roll journalist throughout my late teens and 20s, God's grace reached me and led me to the life of the church, and eventually led me to study theology. I'm now a professor of theology at Holy Apostles College and Seminary, which is a very different life from writing for Mojo magazine and interviewing Brian Wilson and Harry Nilsson and other oldies artists, which was what I did as a rock and roll historian. So for me, the highlight of my week would have been Saturday night when I would go to concerts and have communion with the music and with the others there to hear it. Now I still love music and I still go to concerts sometime, but Sunday morning is no longer a morning just for sleeping. Sunday morning is a morning for communion with others and most of all for communion with God, with our Lord Jesus through the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, besides the fact that Sunday Will Never Be the Same is the title of a great song by Spanky and Our Gang, that's why I gave my memoir that title.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So you tie in your past with your present, your life.
Yes, that's right.
All wonderful. But you write the book, Dawn Eden Goldstein, in present tense. So tell us about that approach.
Well, my previous books, The Thrill of the Chaste and My Peace I Give You and Remembering God's Mercy, when I wrote those books and I told about stories from my life, I would speak in the past tense. I did this, I did that. But I chose to take a different approach with Sunday Will Never Be the Same because I remembered how when I was a child and I read books on dreams, because I was fascinated with dream interpretation back then, mm-hmm. the book said that if you're keeping a dream diary and you're remembering your dreams, you need to remember them in the past, rather in the present tense, in order to be able to really remember what happened. That mm-hmm. memory, your memory works better if instead of thinking I was, you're thinking I am. The memories become more present to you. And so I started to write my memoir in that way, and it just seemed to work better all throughout, because it led to a different type of writing. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was writing of past events in my previous books, I would add these layers of theological interpretation because now it's my present mature Catholic self looking back at my less mature pre-Catholic self, and I didn't want to sit in judgment of my pre-Catholic self. I mean, certainly I believe it's better to have the Lord and to know the Lord than to not know the Lord, but I thought that in order to make my experience of receiving, you know, grace and grace working in my life, to make that more immediate to readers, I shouldn't interpret it, but write about it as it happened.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get into your journey into the faith and your conversion, but the book itself, you know, because you come from a past of writing in rock and roll, and some people may say, well, how do you mix rock and roll and Catholicism? How does that work? What would you say to people?
Well, it really depends on how you define rock and roll. Certainly if you think of rock and roll only in terms of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, then it gets hard to mix because you're thinking of it simply as a means of, you know, exploiting life for pleasures that you can get out of it regardless of how they harm yourself or harm others. So it's hard to find the good, the true, the beautiful in that. But if you're thinking of rock and roll as something that's beautiful and transcendent, which it really can be, then one can see a continuum of grace I can see a continuum of grace from my love of the good, the true, the beautiful rock and roll to the good, the true, and the beautiful as it is in God, and as God, I can see how God has led me to Him partly through these transcendent experiences I had in music. I mean, for those listening who love the oldies, which was what I was into, I wasn't old enough to enjoy the oldies first time around, but I got into them as a teenager in the late 80s. For me, beautiful music means the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album, the Kinks' Village Green Preservation Society, the Zombies' Odyssey and Oracle, the Left Banke with Walk Away Renee. And I think that anyone who listens to them, as Leonard Bernstein did and raved about them, can find indications of the transcendent there.
Mm-hmm. Dawn Eden Goldstein is who we're talking to this morning here on Catholic Connection, author of Sunday Will Never Be the Same. You know, you had a conversion story. Your conversion started in your early 30s. What can you, I know that's in your memoir, but what can you share with our listeners this morning about a person raised Jewish experience an encounter with the divine? How did that come about?
Well, for me, my journey really got jump-started when I was 27 and I was doing a phone interview with a rock musician, a member of a band called the Sugar Plastic, and I asked him what was he reading these days, and he said he was reading this author I'd never heard of named G.K. Chesterton. The book was called The Man Who Was Thursday. And so I just got curious. I thought, well, I'll impress this musician the next time he's in town, and I'll pick up this book and read it, having no idea, Vanessa, that this author, Chesterton, was this great convert to Catholicism from Anglicanism. Chesterton is the author whose work actually converted C.S. Lewis from atheism.
Yeah.
And this novel, The Man Who Was Thursday, when I picked it up and started reading it, I found this profound theology of suffering that really moved me because I had sufferings that I hadn't yet even begun dealing with. I had post-traumatic stress disorder that hadn't even been diagnosed at that point, but it was from sexual abuse and other abuse that I received in childhood. So when I was reading really this Christian novel by Chesterton, I began to feel something awaken in me. I started to read more Chesterton, and over the course of 4 years, that eventually led me to want to read the Psalms, the Gospels, and it was then, as I write in my memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, that I began to hear the voice of God, both through everyday events and through an experience that an encounter that I had with God that mm. that led me to seek baptism and eventually led me, praise God, into the church. Mm.
We have to take a break in a couple of minutes, in 1 minute, Dawn, but how do you, and we're going to come back and continue this conversation with you, but before we hit that break, how do you get the book, your latest book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same?
Sunday Will Never Be the Same is published by Catholic Answers. It's available from online booksellers. So just if you put in Sunday Will Never Be the Same and my name, Dawn Eden Goldstein, you'll find it. You can also find it at my blog, The Dawn Patrol, which is at Dawn Eden, DAWNEDEN, .blogspot.com.
Dawn, we're going to continue this conversation with you. Stay with us. Stay with us, everyone. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with Dawn Eden Goldstein about her latest book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same. We'll be right back. Continues here on Catholic Connection with Dawn Eden Goldstein, author of her latest book, Sunday Will Never Be the Same. She had a conversion story to the Catholic faith in her early 30s, led by a Chesterton novel, which is amazing. That prompted you to read that. Dawn, what was the reaction from your family when you converted, having been raised Jewish?
Well, there were mixed reactions. My mother actually entered the Catholic Church back when I was a teenager. It didn't rub off on me. But by the time I was 31, my mother was not at that time practicing the faith. She is now, thank God. But she had recently, after my parents' divorce, she had gotten remarried to my stepfather, and at that time they're both Catholic now, praise God. But at that time they were living as Messianic Jews, which is a brand of Protestantism, and mm-hmm. so they were very supportive of my being Christian. I was myself Protestant at first for five years before I was Catholic. My sister, who was then beginning her studies to be a rabbi, was not so happy about it. Again, she and I have since gotten closer, and now she is a rabbi, and I'm her consultant on Catholicism, and she's with me as a theologian, she's my in-house consultant on Judaism, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And my dad was accepting, because even though he was and remains Jewish, he just wanted me to be happy. And mm-hmm. so there were a variety of reactions. I think it would have been much different if I were an Orthodox Jew, but since my family was Reform Jewish, which is the more liberal branch, mm-hmm. there wasn't as much of a stigma. There was, you know, sadness, but there wasn't, among the Jewish members of my family, there was, some of them, there was sadness, but there wasn't as much of a stigma as there would have been if we had more Orthodox practice.
How did you go from Protestants practicing Protestant for 5 years to Catholicism? What was that journey like?
Well, at that time, I was working. Through much of that time, I was working as a copy editor for the New York Post, and I thought that the New York Post was a safe place for me as a mm-hmm. as a Christian, because it's got a reputation for being conservative. But as I began to learn more about my Christian faith and I began to learn more, particularly about the life issue, I became more and more pro-life. Now, there are Protestants who are pro-life, but as I began to learn more about the dignity of human life, it really stood out for me that Catholics were consistently valuing the dignity of human life mm-hmm. from conception to natural death, whereas for Protestants, they were all over the map on this. And in my memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, I tell about how I ultimately got fired from the New York Post after defending the dignity of human life. The way that I came to the attention of my editors in a negative way was that I made an unauthorized change to a news story that revealed my pro-life sympathies, but I wasn't fired for that. I apologized for making this unauthorized change, and they were going to keep me on, but then it was brought to their attention by the reporter whose story I changed that I had been blogging against Planned Parenthood, blogging against abortion and for the dignity of life. And so I was fired from the New York Post for blogging while pro-life. And once I got fired, well, by that time I'd experienced a profound experience of the dignity, not the dignity, excuse me, of an encounter with a saint who promoted the dignity of human life, Saint Maximilian Kolbe. I had asked his intercession, and his intercession convinced me of the communion of saints. And at that time, too, I thought, well, it doesn't really make sense to take a hit for life, to be fired for being pro-life, if I'm not Catholic, if I'm not part of this church that's been defending life for 2,000 years. I tell about all that in my memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same.
Mm-hmm. You know, it amazes me that you could be fired in the media for standing up for life. That's okay. But if somebody started blogging about how wonderful Planned Parenthood is, I want to see if they'll be fired from their job.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, as I tell in Sunday Will Never Be the Same, after getting fired from the New York Post, I was hired by the Daily News. Uh-huh. And fairly soon after I got there, they published a story in which they were just attacking a pro-life group for having free ultrasounds outside a Planned Parenthood clinic. This group had rented a bus that they set up as an ultrasound clinic. And so this news story in the Daily News was attacking this pro-life group and saying how horrible it was that they were giving out free ultrasounds rather than just respecting women's decisions to abort. It was ridiculous. And at that point, I was working for the Daily News, and so I felt terrible because I felt that I was a cooperator in this news organization that was really attacking pro-lifers.
Yeah. And that's because they were threatened by that, because more than 90% of women who do see the ultrasound of their baby will choose life.
Absolutely,
over death.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy in the media, the way the media is today, and they just, it's not unbiased media. I mean, they're against pro-lifers, and they have no problem firing people over that. And Dawn, what do you want the readers to take away from your memoir, Sunday Will Never Be the Same?
I'd like readers to see how God's grace reaches us wherever we are. I'd also like the readers to see how, besides seeing how God can break through to us, I'd like them to think about how God's grace has been present throughout their lives, including that God has been present for them even in times of sadness, times of sorrow, because part of the joy for me in writing my memoir was in revisiting some very sad times and seeing how, if it weren't for those sorrows, I wouldn't be who I am today, that God was there even though I didn't know it. The soon-to-be saint, John Henry Cardinal Newman, talks about how Christ is present to us, he's manifest to us in remembrance, and that's something that I'd love for my readers to pick up through Sunday Will Never Be the Same.
Mm-hmm. Dawn Eden Goldstein, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection, author of the book Sunday Will Never Be the Same. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you, Vanessa. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Her other books is The Thrill of the Chaste and Peace I Give You. And you could find her books online. Go to Sunday Will Never Be the Same. Dawn Eden Goldstein. Stay with us, everyone. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Monica Miller with Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. We'll be right back.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle.
Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo here, filling in for Teresa Tamio. She'll be back on her regular time slot tomorrow with you, and I'll be joining her for in the news segment as well tomorrow. But right now we're talking with Dr. Monica Miller, with Citizens for a Pro-Life Society and author of Abandon, The Untold Story of the Abortion Wars. Dr. Miller, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
So you are recruiting leaders for these nationwide events. So tell us, what are you looking for, Monica?
Well, this is our fifth year as the Protest PP events, and we have had numerous demonstrations outside of Planned Parenthood, abortion facilities, and then their satellite clinics and so on, ever since the year of 2016, 2015. In any case, this year, we're going to be doing it again on April 13th. And what we're doing, though, we're going to do something a little bit different from the traditional conventional demonstration. We're going to be having candlelight vigils outside of Planned Parenthood facilities, because we feel we need to focus on prayer and lots of prayer. You know, the listeners of Ave Maria Radio are probably pretty well aware that the promoters and supporters and believers in abortion are gearing up. They are on fire. They are darn mad. They feel very, very threatened that should Trump appoint one more Supreme Court justice, possibly to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that Roe v. Wade may be reversed. And so a lot of states are passing laws, state laws, legislation that basically mimics Roe versus Wade, but on a state level. And so we see things like the horrific situation that happened in New York City.
Yeah.
No, not New York City, but New York State.
The state.
Where basically abortion is legalized all the way to birth, and Even should the baby survive the abortion procedure, the baby still has no rights. Babies that are in the womb, should the woman be assaulted and the baby, the unborn baby die as a consequence of that assault, the baby again has no rights. Conscience clauses that have been, you know, protecting medical professionals from having to be involved in abortion are being removed. So the pro-abortion landscape is awful. It's always been awful. It's almost impossible to imagine it getting worse than what it already was, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. So we need to pray, and we're going to be organizing these vigils outside of Planned Parenthood facilities. They're all going to take place on the same day, which would be April 13th. They don't necessarily have to take place at the same time. Now, we're saying candlelight vigils, but if, for whatever reason, evenings don't work out for a local leader, then do it during the day. It doesn't make any difference as long as it's, probably we're looking at 45 minutes, anywhere from 45 minutes to 90 minutes. So an hour and a half, I would say, at the most,
mm-hmm.
to put together a ceremony outside of an abortion clinic. But we do need local leaders. Right now we're up to about 83 of these vigils that are going to be taking place. That's respectable, okay? The 83 vigils all over the United States, I mean all the way from California to Rhode Island and from Michigan down to Texas. There are lots and lots of Planned Parenthood facilities that still are not covered. We could easily double that. So get up to 160.
Yeah.
But that means, Vanessa, we need local leaders. We need people. Here's what has to happen. Anybody
okay.
listening to this interview, find out where the Planned Parenthood clinic is in your community.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you got to just step up to the plate and say, I will organize one of these prayer vigils outside of this Planned Parenthood. So first you got to find out where's the Planned Parenthood in your community. And listeners might already know. Maybe they go there to pray or sidewalk council already, so they know where the clinic is located. You got to decide that you're going to be the leader. You're going to organize one of these vigils. You're going to partner with other people. You're going to get a team together. We have lots of organizational resources available for the local leaders. And so what you got to do is go to ProtestPP. So those are the initials, of course. ProtestPP.com, and you will see a resource page. Here's the other thing. There'll be a tab for locations. So when you go to that tab and you scroll down to your state, it's all alphabetized, very, very user friendly. So you scroll down to your state and you'll see if a clinic was already covered. So you might already know. And, you're going to know that a clinic in your vicinity was covered, but then that'll tell you that it wasn't covered because it's not on that list, then the clinic is not covered. And then again, we have lots of resources on how to do a press release. We have a template for a flyer that you can just plug in the information and you just download that thing and print it out. Organization, how to organize the vigil, a bulletin announcements, radio ads, and also community service ads that you can get up on your local radio stations and so on. So this is what we hope people will do listening to me. Get involved with this event.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make that public witness to the sanctity of life in this terrible culture of death. It's up to us. You know, we can't say, well, let somebody else do it, or that's not my thing, or I don't have confidence. Well, you think you don't have confidence, but it's just a matter of the will and being able to do it.
Yeah.
And partner with somebody. Say, you know, call up your local, you know, your friends in your local area,
yeah,
and say then you're going to have a meeting at your house, and you plan out the thing. So what do you want to do? I mean, what's it going to look like?
Yeah.
You're going to have hymns. You're going to sing. You're going to have prayers, obviously. So you're going to be praying. You may have carve out 15 to 20 minutes just for private prayer, where people might break down and say, you know, say the rosary. Or if you have Protestants involved, they're going to get together and they're going to read scripture together. You might invite someone to give a sermon, you know, one of your local pastors or whoever, to come and give a sermon for it. And it's really, really not that hard.
Yeah, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those who are called. So
yeah,
don't worry,
right,
if you don't feel like you can do this. You can do this. If it's on your heart, God is going to give you the means, and through Monica Miller on how to do this. But Monica, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to continue this conversation about calling leaders to help with his visuals on April 13th. But I also want to get your opinion on the movie Unplanned. So stay with us, everyone. Stay with us, Monica. We'll be right back after this break. We're back here on Catholic Connection talking with Dr. Monica Miller. She's organizing Citizens for Pro-Life Society candlelight vigils on April 13th, and she's calling all of us. She's looking for recruit leaders for these nationwide events to come out and organize these prayer vigils at Planned Parenthoods in your area, and you can do this. Monica, God does not call the equipped. He equips the goals who are called. And pray about it. You know, we're in the Lenten season, praying to see and discern if this is what God's calling you to do, and recruit some of your friends to help you if you feel a little nervous. And Monica, that you give them exactly what to do at the website and how to do this.
Yeah, and then they can sign up. There's a tab at the top of the web page to sign up, and it honestly takes 30 seconds. You just put your name, the address of the abortion clinic or the clinic. Some of these clinics don't do abortions, but they're still Planned Parenthood. And then your contact information, and then if you have any information about the vigil, like it's going to start at 7 o'clock or it's going to start at 8 o'clock or whatever, all that goes into the fields, and then you just submit. You click submit, and then it'll be there. It'll show up on the list. And then when somebody's looking to participate in one of these vigils, they go to that and they'll see, oh yeah, there's one of these vigils in my neighborhood, I'm going to go. So it's a way for us to instantly promote the your vigil in your city. So that's what needs to be done. You just sign up, and then they'll actually be a way for somebody to email you. Your name won't appear in the email, but if somebody clicks on that, they can send you an email to get more information. So it's really well planned out. It's well thought out, and we're here to help anybody who is a local leader to put this, you know, put these vigils together. And it doesn't have to be a super big deal. I mean, honestly, if just ten people showed up to pray, right? I mean, and get your candles out there and light your candles and put them out on the sidewalk. And, you know, this is not that complicated, but leaders are needed. It would be so great within the next week or so if we could double that number. So we're up to about 82. Double that, and they had 164 of these vigils all over the United States. What a great statement that would be! And so even sometimes the local media covers it, and you get a photo or whatever in your local paper, and that's beautiful because that extends the witness.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't just end, you know, at 9:30 at night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Your presence and your witness to the sanctity of life gets extended because you sent out a little press release, or you called them, you know, you called your local editor and they came out. And
you know what? I would recommend on that note, because I do communications on a regular basis, if they can't come out, take the picture for them.
yes.
and write what went on, and they might even just print it. You know, do the work for them.
That has happened to us numerous times, in particular with the Oakland Press here in Michigan. And we still have, you know, I live in Michigan, and I do double duty. I try to promote locally, but I'm doing the national recruitment as well. This event is sponsored by our group, Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, and the Pro-Life Action League. And then the third group is Created Equal, Mark Harrington's group. So there's three national sponsors for the Protest PP project. But this is the thing. This is driven by local leaders, because if we don't have them, if we don't have local leaders willing to step up and do the local event, then there is no such thing as Protest PP. So we have to have those local leaders.
Monica, before we let you go, a couple of minutes left here on Catholic Connection. What is your take on the movie Unplanned?
Well, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I will be. I'm going to see it next week, and I intend to write a review of the movie for Crisis Magazine. But one thing I read the book, and I did a review of Abby John's book, and that's actually at Crisis Magazine as well. So you could do a search for it if people want to read it. Here's the thing that I think is really important. This movie got an R rating.
Yeah.
And some people are upset about that. I think we should not be upset about that. Abortion is a serious, nitty-gritty issue. It's about killing innocent human beings. And this is an R-rated issue, okay?
Yeah. So we have seconds left, Monica. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I just don't think we should be in any way upset or daunted by that. I think it's maybe it's even a good thing. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Thank you, Monica. If you want to join the visual, April 13th, be a leader. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, Monica. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. She'll be back in tomorrow. You can find me, communications evangelist Vanessa Denha-Garmo, on Facebook. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.